Now we're taking our first short reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, the opening seven verses. And then after that, some of the boys and girls who attend our Monday club meeting, and they celebrated a nativity play on Monday, will come out the front and they will give you a little flavour of some of the songs that that they were singing. So boys and girls, be ready. Now then, after we've done this reading together, to come up the front and join with me as we'll sing some of the songs from the Nativity this year. So Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about a Christmas decoration. In 2007, £28 million was spent on Christmas decorations. But there's one special type of decoration that I want to concentrate upon this morning. I'll give you a clue, boys and girls. If you're looking at the front, it could be a red colour, it could be a green colour, or it could be a gold colour. Something at the front of the church here, all the same. It's in green, it's in red, and it's in gold. Put your hands up if you think you know what it could be. Zach.
Tinsel.
Well done. Going to talk to you about tinsel. Right, let's have the first picture, the tinsel. There we now know. Did you know that there's only one place in the whole of the United Kingdom that makes tinsel? So that all of the UK tinsel is made in one place, somewhere in the United Kingdom. And you'd be surprised, I'm going to show you a picture of it now, where it is. A new town in Monmouthshire, Cwmbran. Who'd have thought that? All the tinsel in the country comes from the festive factory in Cwmbran. They were in the news in July, strange time of the year, you'd think. There had been a fire there, just gone, but nothing much was damaged. Let's give you some facts about what happens in the festive factory to start with. First of all, there are about 65 people working there. And although we think of it as a tinsel-producing factory, you might think, well, they'd only work in December. Oh, no. They work all the time, every day. It gets really busy when they get to May. May to November, 24-7, 24 hours, 7 days a week, they're making tinsel. They make about £3 million worth of tinsel every year. £3 million. Well, if I could tell you now, the little bit of tinsel we've got here this morning, can you see? Two sort of gold ones on the banisters, two red ones and the green one. Do you know, that set me back £10. So imagine now, if that's £10 worth, imagine what £3 million worth of tinsel must be like. Not only that, but they make enough tinsel there to wrap it halfway round the world every year. So every 2 years, they make enough tinsel to go around the whole of the world. And also as well, tinsel is available not only in a number of different colours, there's about 9 or 10 different colours, but 9 thicknesses. So you can have 250 mils or 25 mils up to really thick tinsel. So that's the sort of things that we can say about tinsel to begin with. Where did it all begin now then? We know it's manufactured in Wales. Where do you think it all began? you'll be surprised. A place called Nuremberg. Now, some of us who've read the history books will remember Nuremberg as a place where some trials took place after the Second World War. Well, well before that, in Germany, 1610, that's where tinsel began. And it began not as it is today. They were strips, little strips of silver, little strips of metal that were hung on a Christmas tree, made it look a little bit like icicles. Lead as well, and then it used to tarnish, and then they realised with lead particularly there were some health issues. So eventually it went over to aluminium, and this is something like we've got today to produce this wonderful sparkly tinsel. Now what we're going to do, we're going to think about a party game. We're going to have a little party game. Now some of the party games that you can play over Christmas, maybe you'll play putting the tail on the donkey. It'll be interesting. The other one then is making a room in the middle and putting some chairs out and playing musical chairs. But the other thing you can do at Christmas time is to play what we call word games. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to have a little play of a word game. And what we're going to do, we're going to use the word tinsel, six letters in the word. And now we're not going to do the easy thing, which is if you want to do it when you get home, write out tinsel and see how many three-letter words or more you can make using those letters. You can do it when you get home. If you can find 10, that's good. If you can find 20, that's very good. If you can find 30 or more, well, it's excellent. But this morning, we're not looking now for small little words. We're going to look for what's called the big posh word Rodri had to tell me, an anagram. An anagram. Well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is we've got the word tinsel, and we're going to use all those letters to make another word that I can tell you then something about the Christmas story. And so I'm grateful to Rodri for putting this little presentation together. If it wasn't for that, we'd have had a string out here with some letters and I'd have been moving them around you and you'd have been laughing at me getting it wrong. So without further ado, let's do the very first word, tinsel. The first word we're looking for is...
Silent.
Now, don't you remember I gave you a little clue? I gave you a clue that in one of the songs there would be a clue, and we've sung about... It's not silent. What is it? What is it? Listen. Jumping ahead, see? Jumping ahead. Wait a moment now. Listen. Another little word we used, wasn't it? Was listen. Well, let's have a little look at some of the people who listened in the Christmas story. First of all, there was Mary, wasn't there? Mary, working there in the kitchen, probably, or in the house, and the angel comes and appears to her, telling her wonderful news. Mary, you're going to have a son, and you're going to have to call him Jesus. And she could have dismissed it, and she said, well, I'm not going to listen to that. That's not only going to get me in trouble with Joseph, it's going to get me in trouble with my family, it's going to get me trouble, my whole life might be trouble as a result of that. I'm not listening. But what did Mary say? She said, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to you as I have said. So Mary was the first person who listened really to the Christmas story, the Christmas message. And that's what we do every Christmas now. We remind ourselves of the main characters and the main event, the birth of the Saviour. But we're listening. So I hope now this morning, just for 5 or 10 minutes this morning, you'll be able to concentrate on this and listen with Mary. But not only Mary. Let's think of someone else now then who listened to the Christmas message. It was Joseph, wasn't it? Well, let's think about Joseph. He'd heard the news that Mary was expecting a baby. And obviously, Joseph jumped to a conclusion that he had to think seriously now perhaps about leaving Mary and not marrying Mary. Had she been true to him? And then again, in the middle of the night, an angel appeared to Joseph, told him about Mary's innocence, told him about the name of the baby, and a little bit more information, told about the reason for his coming. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, from all the wrong and bad things they've ever done. This baby will save them from that. He will wipe the slate clean. He will give them a fresh start. He will give them a new beginning. He'll help them to begin again. And then as a result of that, we read that Joseph listened to the word of the angel, and then he married Mary. But there's one group more. Again, Mary listened, Joseph listened. Well, who else listened? Well, let's have a look. The shepherds. You remember we read that story? There they are looking after the sheep late in the night, and an angel appears to them again, bringing this message to tell them to go down to Bethlehem to see this sight that has come to pass. Go down, for a baby has been born, Christ the Lord. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying there in a manger, in a feeding trough of an animal. And again, what did the shepherds do? Did they say, well, that was a funny experience. We better get on looking after the sheep. No, they listened. And they went down to Bethlehem and they found, exactly as the angel had told them, they found the baby there in the manger. Now, there's an old Methodist hymn. It's not in any of the hymn books. I came across it a number of years ago. And it has the word listening in the middle of the first verse. Cradled in a manger, meanly, laid the Son of Man his head. Sleeping his first earthly slumber where the oxen had been fed. Happy were those shepherds listening to the holy angel's word. Happy they within that stable worshipping the infant Lord. They listened to the message of Christmas. So that's the first word then that we can pull out the word tinsel, first word game. Now then, let's have a little look at a second word. This one again. Now then, you've had a little clue. It is one of the hymns we've sung, or one of the carols we've sung, and it's already been mentioned. All appears to become silent. The Silent Night. We've got that famous song. Also, as well, there's also another famous carol that talks about how silently the wondrous gift is given. And God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, what? The dear Christ enters in. So let's have a look. So let's have a look at, remind ourselves then, in the story, the Silent Night. I don't think it was silent to start with. I'm sure there was a bit of grunting and puffing, and that was only Joseph, let alone what Mary went through to bring forth our baby. And I don't think as well that little baby would have been quiet. I think he would have to stretch his lungs. He would have a little bit of a cry, a little bit of a blowing of his voice, perhaps, or his vocal cords. And so there would have been. And then after he was born, things settled down. And that's when we can sing of the Silent Night. But also as well, it was a silent night in Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. So, in the manger, also in Bethlehem, the city of David, the place that had been prophesied by Micah 700 years before it event, that the Saviour, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. But also as well, it's important then for us to think about that silent way in which God comes into our hearts. You see, there are some people who say, well, yes, I've become a Christian. And they can give you what we call a very dramatic account of it. It's a bit like the account that you read about Paul, the Apostle Paul. You read about it in Acts chapter 9. Blinding light. He's on the road away. He's going to persecute some Christians. A blinding light shines in his eyes. He falls off the horse. He goes blind. Massive story, big story. He ends up in a house, and then this man comes along, Ananias talks to him, and then his eyes opened, and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he changes completely from being a persecutor to being the preacher of the word of God. Dramatic conversion. And there's lots of people over the years, and centuries, have had what you call dramatic events. But that's not the only way you can become a Christian. Let's be clear about it. Otherwise, you can see, unless something dramatic happens to me, something sort of really big that you could write a book about, well, it can't be real. Oh, yes, it can. It can be silently. It can be quietly. It can be a step at a time. It all begins perhaps when you started perhaps as a youngster. You were brought along to a service like this. And then when you got to the comprehensive school, someone gave you a little Gideon Bible. And everybody else was throwing it away. You kept it. You started perhaps to read it. And then perhaps you were invited to go to a youth meeting or to go away for a camp holiday. Or perhaps then you went on to university. And what happened? You were looking around for some friends and everybody perhaps you thought, well, I don't want to be involved with them and that and this and the other. And then you met a little group of people or a couple of people perhaps you were living with. And they said, oh, come along with me. And you started studying the Bible. Or perhaps you met someone in work. Might have been someone perhaps who you ended up marrying. And they introduced you to the gospel. Silent, small, little steps. Grandmother perhaps who used to give you a little colouring book of Bible stories. Or perhaps an aunt as well who would give you a little sort of bookmarker. Or a little pencil with a verse on it. And all those little things happened in your life. And then as well, yes, sad things happened and it almost as if you thought, well, I'll turn away from that. I won't bother with that anymore. I won't go there anymore. And almost as if your life was arranged. And then you came to a realization that you yourself needed to be saved. That it wasn't always the problem out in the world. It certainly is that. There is problems in the world, but you began to realize there was problems inside as well. It wasn't always everybody else was the problem. Perhaps sometimes I was the problem. And you began to realize that. And then you thought, well, how can that be dealt with? How can I change? How can I alter? And then you understood why Jesus came. He didn't come to shout. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He came to rescue. And silently, that work took place in your heart. Now, we've looked at listen. We've looked at silent. I think those are the two easy words. Now, let's have one more word. An anagram using all the letters. Let's have a little look. Put it up, Rodri. Enlist. Now, Stuart would know about that. Enlisting. Young man. Tall enough as well. Joined up. Marines. You enlist. What do you do when you join up? Okay, 100 years ago, young men in our country. Interestingly enough, this morning, a man came up the steps. And I thought, he's early. I was here at 10 o'clock. He was early. He said, I'm from the Imperial War Museum, he said. And I'm going around the chapels and churches of South Wales looking to see if there's any memorial plaques in connection with the First or Second World War. I said, you can come in. I don't think we've got any at all. But I put him in a direction now of places perhaps he could go in the town to find, and he's interested in taking photographs of them and making sure that it's kept as a record. 100 years ago, young men were still being not conscripted, told that they must enlist into the armed forces. And sadly, so many of them were not coming back for Christmas. But here we are, we're facing this picture about those who enlisted in the Christmas story. They listened, something happened silently, but also the shepherds certainly listened. We know that, and they followed down to Bethlehem, and then they went back. And they told everybody about what they'd seen. Somebody else, as well as the shepherds, were the wise men, the three wise men. You remember the distance they came on that journey. They also brought their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And then we read about them. They came in, saw the child, and what did they do? They worshipped him. They worshipped him. They just didn't sort of stroke his head and say, oh, there's a pretty baby. But they worshipped him. They enlisted and they went back from there. And there are those who believe that really they'd had a background with Daniel. Remember Daniel and the lion's den? Well, Daniel was exiled in Persia some 500 years before this event. And the impact Daniel had in Persia, these men were looking for the Messiah to come, looking at the stars, looking for direction. And perhaps they saw the fulfillment of that as they came to worship this baby. So you've got the workers, that would be the shepherds. You've got the wise men. You've got the wise then. And then also there's this couple. They weren't married, but they were both spent a lot of time in the temple. There's a story at the end of Luke chapter 2 about an old man called Simeon and a woman as well called Anna. And if we think of the shepherds as workers and those magi as wise men or wise people, well then, Simeon and Anna, well, you could say they're the weathered people. They're the wizened people. They're the wrinkled people. Aged people, old people. And yet they enlisted. They've been waiting. Simeon said he'd been waiting all his life to see the Messiah come. And the Lord had told him he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. And he took the babe in his arms. Do you know, you can become a Christian when you're young. You can become a Christian as a teenager. You can become a Christian perhaps as a young 20, 30-year-old, as a young mother, as someone perhaps who's bringing up a family. You can become a Christian at middle age. Do you know, you can become a Christian in your old age. Attending a funeral recently of the wife of a man that used to attend here with us. He's now in his 90s, but I'm going back. He would have been in his mid-80s. And he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in his 80s. And we filled the pool, which is behind the screen here. We filled the pool and I baptized him. The oldest person I've ever baptized. 83 years of age. So you can never be too young. You can never be too old. And Simeon and Anna as well, they believed and trusted in the Messiah. Now there's this wonderful picture then, as to those who never listened to the message of his birth, who have winter but not Christmas, bringing them your peace on earth. Send to these the joyful tidings by all people in each home. Be there heard the Christmas anthem. Praise to God. The Christ has come. You can go through winter, but never know Christmas. It's a bit like that phrase in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, isn't it? It's always winter, never Christmas. You can celebrate Christmas with all the trimmings, all the tinsel, and yet never really know the heart of Christmas, the reason why the Saviour came. I pray that we would know that this Christmas time. There's a lovely verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, which we can use to finish this morning. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's why anyone who's speaking about Christmas this morning must never only isolate Christmas from what happened at Easter time. Now, although there was some 30-odd years difference between the first event and that other event, yet in one sense, they're two sides to a coin. The Saviour comes into the world. He begins to live an earthly life, a perfect life, always obeying his mum and dad, always obeying the Lord of God, loving God with all his heart, loving his neighbour as himself, living the life that you and I try to live, but fail to live. But not only did he live that life, that's why he was born as a baby. That's why he didn't come just down as a spaceman at 30 years of age. He lived the life all the way through to full manhood. And then what did he do? He gave up his life upon the cross. I don't know what the best gift you'll have this Christmas. Some surprises I'm sure there will be. But the greatest gift is to think that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if we believe with our mouth and confess, declare with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. What a wonderful blessing that is. Well, there we are, those three simple words then out of tinsel, and I hope it's been of some help to you to understand the Christmas message.